Hello.
Hello. Yes. Hello and good morning and welcome to 30 Minutes of Wisdom for Friday, November 4th. This is Gregory Mascari in Bozeman, Montana, and I want to thank everyone for joining us here and thank everyone for taking time out of their busy lives. Robin and I started these regular weekly calls kind of as our way of paying it back, or I guess you could really say paying it forward, for all the amazing people and blessings we've had over the years and really over the decades. And our intention with these Friday morning 30-minute of wisdom calls is to create a safe space where people from all professions, backgrounds, and companies can come together and learn from some of the most forward-thinking authors, speakers, trainers, and really enlightened beings in the world today. And I'd like to, at this point, turn our call over to my partner in life and my partner in Enlightened Networking, Robin Blank Mascari, who will be conducting our interview. So good morning, Robin.
Thank you, Gregory, and welcome, everybody. Thanks for being with us, whether you're listening live or on the replay. And we do have the replay available on a phone number for a week, and then it goes up on the website. So our topic this morning, I'm very excited, is crucial conversations. And we have with us a four-time New York Times bestselling author. He's the co-founder of the Covey Leadership Center. There are three people that actually founded that organization. And someone who's impacted millions around the world with a powerful message. It's been tested and proven over and over and over again and has had tremendous impact on people personally and professionally. He's a pioneer in the training industry, and with his co-authors named the Ernst & Young Entrepreneurs of the Year. I had a friend who got nominated, and these guys won, ranked by Inc. magazine four times as one of the fastest-growing companies in America. He and his organization have worked with over 300 of the Fortune 500. But back in the 80s, I was privileged to have him as part of the team that certified me in Seven Habits. I went out to Utah, and I was young and new in the business, and I remember this man because he had an immediate impact on me. His wit, I mean, people know him for his wit, his joy, his wisdom and inspiration, and it's had a lasting impact all these years. And just several years ago, I came across one of his books. My sister introduced it to me because she was using it in her work, and she mentioned how powerful it was. I got the book, and I looked at the authors, and I went, oh, my, could that be? And sure enough, it was. And it was a group of people that I knew from the 80s. And so it's a total gift to be reconnected and to have Ron McMillan with us today. So welcome, Ron.
Well, thank you, Robin. What a great introduction. Thank you.
Well, it's such a gift to have you here, and it's so wonderful to be reconnected after – what was it? We figured out it was the early 90s or the late 80s that we were last in touch, but you have done such great work. And, you know, the book called Crucial Conversations was the first one, wasn't it?
Yes, uh-huh.
So could you tell us, Ron, what is a crucial conversation?
Well, a crucial conversation is when three factors come together. And over the course of our usual conversation throughout a day, our conversations are casual, they're regular, they're routine, and most of us do pretty well in those. But when these three factors come together, everything changes. The factors are high stakes. This isn't just a conversation about the weather. It's around something that really matters. High stakes, opposing opinion, you and I don't agree, and strong emotions. And when high stakes, opposing opinion, and strong emotions come together, the whole nature of our conversations change, and the impact they have on results and relationships escalates dramatically.
Wow. So we've got these three factors, and where did this work come from? How did you guys get to the place where you identified these and created this work?
Well, in 1990, my partners and I, we were doing work we called culture change, and we were working with large organizations who were very autocratic, authoritarian, and they realized that they were being left behind in the changing markets, and they had to change their culture so that they would be quick to respond, they would listen and be innovative. And as we were working with these clients to create this change, we thought a great thing would be to bring people together who's closest to the problem and have them talk through the issues and come up with solutions. Seemed like a good idea to me.
Yeah, it seems like a good idea.
The problem was, when we brought people together around really tough issues, we saw some throw adult temper tantrums. They yelled and pounded the table and screamed and said horrible things to each other. Later, we'd interview them and say, why did you say that? And said, oh, I don't know. I wish I could take it back. I guess I was just angry. Other people would just turn icy cold, silent, would refuse to contribute. And they were obviously angry and offended and wouldn't talk. And more we began to realize, if we're going to bring people together to talk through tough, tough issues, they've got to have some skills. They've got to have some way of communicating more effectively. And so in the year 1990, we began what turned out to be a 12-year research study. And the methodology was quite simple. We called it positive deviance. Now, we're all familiar with the bell curve, right? In the middle, you've got the norm or the average, and then you have the deviations from the norm spreading out to both sides. Well, if you take a skill set like communication and you track people on their skill levels, it forms a bell curve. We wanted to study not the average person, but the exceptional people, the deviations from the norm, the people who had superior skills. And so we went into organizations and we'd do a little survey and we'd say, who's the very best communicator you work with? Or who's the most influential person in your workplace, regardless of position? And people would write down their names. And so we collected all these names. Some names were only written once. We think they wrote their own name. Why, I'm the best. Some were written down 2 times, 5 times, 10 times. While that was interesting, we didn't really pay attention unless the name showed up 20 times.
Wow.
20 people said, this is the very best communicator in our workplace. And then we put them on a watch list. And over the course of a 2-year intervention with the organization, we'd always be on the lookout for those people. How do they handle themselves? What do they do? What do they say? If a person's name showed up 50 times, then with the organization's permission, we'd approach them and say, congratulations. Your peers say you're the very best communicator they know. Could we shadow you for a day or two, maybe a week? And with their permission, we'd actually walk around with them. And when they went to meetings, we'd go to meetings. When they had team meetings, we'd say hi to the team, we're the researchers, and then we'd just sit in the back and take notes. Sometimes when they had a one-on-one, we'd say, do you mind if we sit in? And we would write down what these amazing communicators did. Well, the reason it was a 12-year study instead of an 18-month study is most of the time we could not differentiate them from the rest of us. Most of the time, they do just what you do and what I do. But when those 3 factors came together and it turned into high stakes, opposing opinion, and strong emotion, when everyone else was short-circuiting, their brain was fizzling, and they were going to silence or violence, that's when these master communicators shined. That's when they did extraordinary things. We go, how did they do that? And we just took notes like crazy. Over 12 years, we studied hundreds of these master communicators in every major industry in North America, including healthcare, government, armed forces, high tech, heavy manufacturing. We identified 29 different interpersonal skills these master communicators use and 8 fundamental principles or strategies of communication, and that's what we wrote in the book.
Wow. Talk about patience and perseverance, and I imagine you guys got pretty excited when you you know, saw the distinction happen. And you've worked with every kind of organization. You've worked with individuals. You've worked with people in direct selling. So can you identify a few of these key things that people can get excited about right away and put to use somehow? Because it seems, you know, and any one of us that have worked in organizations of any sort or interpersonally at all, communication seems to be the number one challenge that we have not been trained in. So where do you start with people?
Well, I would reinforce what you said, that very few of us have had any training in communication. Most of us, the training we get in interpersonal communication comes from our parents. And I don't know about you, but my parents didn't have any advanced schooling in communication.
Right.
The second source most of us pick up our communication is our peer group, you know, our friends, our neighborhood growing up. And some of us, we learn a lot from our first or second bosses in the workplace. And when you total all those up, there are not a lot of really good examples from us for us to learn from.
That was quite diplomatic, by the way.
Well, the new generation, I'm getting really scared because one of their primary sources for interpersonal skills is television. And think how many good examples are there in television of people talking through their problems and working out solutions together. Not many. So given that that's the source of our learning, we realize that the best people to learn from is those who are the very best. And so not only were we able to identify those skills, but we found that if you take complex interpersonal skills and break them into component parts, any reasonable, rational person can study the skill, practice it, and when they apply it, they get amazing breakthroughs in their relationship problems and in the results that they need to acquire through working through others. And so with that in mind, we began some training programs based on crucial conversation skills to teach people how to use these skills. And of all the skills we saw, of all the things we studied, the single most important one that took us a long time to identify is a principle called make it safe. What we saw these master communicators do is when they were in a crucial conversation with someone, they made it safe for that other person to talk to them. Now, this flew in the face of what we thought we knew about communication, because we thought there are easy topics and hard topics. And the easy topics, you just bowl through. The hard ones, you have to decide how much should I share with the other person? How truthful can I be? And that the communication calculus is figuring out how much you can say and how truthful you can be. Well, what we found is that's not how the master communicators do it. In fact, we found the master communicators were 100% honest, even in the toughest topics, giving feedback to someone about their incompetence, for example. We saw one of the master communicators sit down with the other doctor's permission and talk to a doctor about his incompetence in the emergency room and how others did not want to work with him because he was incompetent, and many nurses steered the most injured patients away from this doctor because they didn't trust in his competence. And we saw this master communicator take on that issue. And at the end of the conversation, the other doctor thanked him and said he had been struggling, but he didn't understand why he was struggling with the team and other medical technicians. And they created a plan together to improve the doctor's competence. What we found is if you make it safe enough, you can talk with almost anyone about almost anything, and they'll thank you instead of being angry with you. That's pretty amazing.
Whoa. So I, you know, being in the training world, and you guys have done, you know, cutting-edge training in every kind of organization, and my experience is that's really the most important thing when you're in a training room is to create a safe space for people to grow. So what would be a few things that people can begin doing more of to create a greater safe place for, you know, their team, their family, their the people that are most important? What are some of those things?
Well, as we examine how these master communicators make it safe for the other person, even in very, very trying and difficult circumstances, we find that we found they create two conditions. And if both conditions are present, then the person feels safe. If they're present to a large degree, they feel really safe. If they're present to just a small degree, they feel a little bit safe. And those two conditions are, first, mutual purpose. That what these master communicators do is, as they begin the conversation, they establish mutual purpose. It could be that you and I really want the same thing. And so by establishing that up front, you begin to see, I'm not against you. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you succeed. And when people really get it, that you're trying to be helpful, not hurtful, that you're working for the same thing, it reduces their anxiety and fear to a large degree. Now, sometimes people, they're opposed. What I want to do is I want to reduce the cost of our operation. What you want to do is you want to increase the quality of our product and service. So now it's an argument. Which do we work on, reducing cost and therefore hurting quality, or increasing quality and therefore increasing cost? And boy, these battles can be fierce and very emotional. They're very high stakes. Well, where we're opposed on something like that, what the master communicators would do is look for a higher value or goal that we both share. Mm. And so in that situation, the master communicator would say, you want improved quality, correct? Person, yes. Say, I want improved quality too. We both want the department to succeed, and we both want to serve the customers well, right? Say, yes, we both want that. Let's figure out a way that we can improve the quality and therefore serve the customer better. At the same time, we're reducing costs and making our operation more profitable. And so now you've taken the two opposing values, you've linked them together into a common purpose, and now you're both working toward the same thing. In that condition, it's a lot easier to brainstorm options that will serve both purposes rather than continue to butt heads. So mutual purpose, if you can create that condition, you've created the first condition for safety. The second condition is mutual respect, that no matter what the other person says, you return with respect. You treat them with respect, even if they're disrespectful. In what you say and what you do, in asking questions and listening to their point of view and trying to understand their point of view, if you're constantly trying to be respectful as you work toward the mutual purpose, it's amazing how after a series of exchanges, their strong emotion begins to diffuse, and you begin having a dialogue, which is the ultimate goal of communication, is can we create a dialogue together so that we can have both of our views understood and expressed. So everywhere we went, in different ways, we'd see the master communicators creating mutual purpose and creating mutual respect. And in a condition of safety, they could be very, very effective in communication.
Wow. As I'm listening to you, I'm just noticing that I'm breathing deeper. You know, when entering into stressful conditions, so often we kind of stop breathing, hold our breath, and when you have those conditions, it's like we can relax. And go deeper and feel, like you say, safe. So I know you've worked with so many different kinds of people. And you know, when we spoke, you mentioned you're actually working in the direct sales and network marketing profession also. How has this, you know, if you can share maybe a few stories or an example or something in some of the companies you've worked with of how this has really made a difference for people out there in the networking world.
Yeah, we've identified that in network marketing, not all conversations are equal. And there are five crucial conversations that if you master those five crucial conversations, you're virtually guaranteed success. If you don't know how to conduct those conversations well, then your success is a lot more iffy. And often it creates the kind of discouragement and spinning of the wheels that people then drop out and quit. One of those is the introducing the business opportunity. That's a crucial conversation. It's high stakes because for you, you're trying to build a business, and being able to sponsor people in is critical to that happening. For you, you have a product or service which you really believe will be a service to them, which will help them, not hurt them, which will be to their benefit. And if you don't honestly feel that, then I would encourage you to get out. Don't sell that. Don't be part of that company. Only latch on to a company that has a product and service that you honestly believe will benefit others. And you have a business opportunity that could enrich their lives. So this is high stakes. I mean, there are a few things in life that are higher stakes than that. It's also often opposing opinion because you have something you feel would be of great benefit and value, and they're often suspicious of direct sales or network marketing. Most people in the United States have a very negative attitude toward that, and so there's already an opposing opinion condition that's been set up. And then strong emotions happen as you are very anxious to share this. And sometimes we just want to help our friends and neighbors in the worst way, and for some reason that's the way we choose to share our message, is in the worst way. And that creates a lot of defensiveness on their part and strong emotions. And so it's a crucial conversation many times when you're introducing the business opportunity or the product or service to a friend or neighbor. And so what we often see is I come in with some reluctance, I'm hesitant, I stumble, and all of that gives signals to the other person. There's something wrong here. There's something dangerous. There's something at risk. And it alerts them, and they put up their defenses. And so let's say, for example, I say, you know, I've come across a really interesting way to increase our monthly income, and I'd really like to share it with you. I think it could be of benefit to you. And the other person says, what is this? Is this where you take advantage of your family and friends so that you can earn some money? Well, what just happened is they totally misunderstood your reasons for talking to them and what it is you're trying to help them with. And there's a little skill, it's so simple, and yet not many people know about it, that we identified the master communicators use. It's called contrasting. And you use this little skill to fix misunderstandings. Whenever someone has misunderstood what you're saying or misunderstood what you're intending, you use this contrast to fix that misunderstanding. And so a contrast is I state what I want and I compare it with what I don't want. So I contrast it. Or I state what I mean and contrast it with what I don't mean. Or I state what I intend and contrast it with what I don't intend. And so the person comes back to me and says, oh, what is this? One of those things where you sell to your family and friends and take advantage of relationships just so you can make money? Oh, no, 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 no. That's not my intention at all. I'm not trying to take advantage of our friendship. Our friendship is too important to me. I just came across a way that pays for my mortgage every month, and I thought it might be a benefit to you. That's all. I'm not trying to hurt our relationship. I'm trying to make available to you something that's made a real positive difference for me. That's all. And so that little contrast quickly clarifies the misunderstanding and clarifies your intention. And then, especially if you have a relationship to begin with, then they're willing to hear what you have to say. And so in direct sales or network marketing, we find using this little contrasting skill to quickly clarify your intention. I'm not saying this, I'm trying to say that. Oh, I didn't intend this. My intention is that. To be totally open, my intent is to help you and bless your life with something that's helped me and blessed my life. That's what this is all about.
That's so beautiful. And I know that we have a mixed group here on our in our growing community in Enlightened Networking, and we have a lot of networkers, and we have all kinds of entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and, you know, everyone's in relationship, and that is a beautiful example that fits in any situation. You want to share, we have a few minutes left, you want to share a quick family story? Because everyone's got those.
Yeah. Let me tell you an example using the same skill in a family setting. I'm in a volunteer in a youth program that is about 50 teenagers in our neighborhood, and we get together and do things, and it's fun. And so I kind of develop a rapport with the kids in our neighborhood. And one evening, about 10, I get a call from Jeffrey's father. And he goes, hey, Ron, how you doing? He said, Jeffrey and I are having some problems, and I wondered if you could come down and help us. And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, we're fighting, and he says, we're not getting anywhere, and I know you study communication, and I thought maybe you could come help Jeffrey and I. And I said, well, you know, I'm not a family counselor. And he goes, oh, no, no. He says, we don't need therapy. He says, we just need some help. And I said, all right. So I came down, walked in their house. His wife greeted me, and they sat down at the kitchen table, and Jeffrey was on one end. The mother and the father were on opposite sides of the table, and they stuck me at the other end. And I said, so what's going on? And Jeffrey's father said, Jeffrey, and he turns to look at Jeffrey, as you know, is 17 years old. He's midway through his senior year in high school. And he and I have been having a lot of arguments. And Jeffrey said, you can say that again. And he said, Jeffrey has a lot of friends that are going to community college here, and they're renting a house, and they've invited him to come live with them. And he wants to move out. And then he turned to Jeffrey, and he said, and that's the stupidest thing you can even imagine doing. He said, I will not condone it. And Jeffrey said, you are ruining my life. And I was trying to think, what could I do? What could I say? And all of a sudden, Jeffrey's father looked at Jeffrey, and then he stopped talking and put his head down, and it was just silent for a moment, and then he looked up at Jeffrey and he said, Jeffrey, I'm not trying to ruin your life. I'm not trying to control you. He said, I'm just scared. He said, Jeffrey, I love you, and I don't want you making some big mistakes now that are going to affect your whole life.
Wow.
And so he used this contrasting skill. And Jeffrey looked up at his dad, and I can't describe what happened, but his face softened. He just softened. And he goes, Dad, I know you love me. He said, but it has been hell living here the last few months. And they started talking through all the rules that Dad had and all of the ways that he'd come down hard on Jeffrey. And as they talked it through, they came up with an agreement. Jeffrey's father proposed that Jeffrey finish high school. He's got 5 more months. And then if he wants to go to community college, he could move in with those guys. However, during that time, Jeffrey's dad would lighten up on some of the home rules and give Jeffrey more freedom and more say over how he used his time. And they came to agreement that that would be a good plan going forward. I said nothing during the whole encounter.
Don't you love that?
I felt I was in water too deep for me to tread very well, but I watched an amazing example of that little skill contrasting, to contrast what you do intend with what you don't, what you do mean with what you don't mean, and how it quickly clarifies and creates safety in the process.
Wow, that is so beautiful. So for anyone on the line that is ready to take that next step, and people have to be ready. You know, your neighbor came to you, he was ready. Not everyone is, but Ron's got fabulous books, Crucial Conversations, Tools for Talking When Stakes Are High is, you know, one of the New York Times best-selling books. And you've got so many Crucial Confrontations When It Even Gets More Heated. And the Influencer, is that what it's called?
Yes, that's
another one. And so
behavior.
The website is crucialconversations.com. And there is a newsletter, right?
Yes. In fact, for your listeners, if they go to crucialconversations.com, they could sign up for the weekly newsletter free of charge that's gotten several major awards. It's not about marketing and sales. It has our most recent research and questions and answers. And then also for your listeners, if they'll go to the website and punch in Enlightened Networking, then they could download the Style Under Stress test, an online measure that lets you know how you do in crucial conversations and where you can improve free of charge. And so we'll make that available to your listeners because they're loyalty to you.
Well, thank you so much for all of that. I think lives have been changed in these 30 minutes of wisdom, Ron. I'm so grateful. Any other final things you want to share before we complete our recording section of the call?
Well, I would say that these skills that we've identified, when you put them into use, can make a tremendous difference in relationships at work and at home. And often just doing a few things different can make all the difference in the world, like that father and that son. And so I'd encourage people to have as a goal improve and enrich their relationships, improve and enrich their results by learning how to communicate better.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It was a total joy to have you with us, and 30 minutes of wisdom is an understatement on this one. I'm so grateful that you said yes to join us this morning, Ron. And before we complete our recording, I just wanted to let everyone know that next week we have John Dolworth on, and John and Jane Duber, many of you heard Jane talk about the 5 archetypes of the entrepreneur, and they work together, and he has a whole nother dimension of contributions to share. Gregory, do you have any final comments before we complete our recording?
Well, I certainly do, and I just want to jump in and say thank you, Ron. Your book has been sitting on my shelf for far too long, and it's going to be consumed now because I certainly understand the value of communication consciousness and mastering some of these skills that you talk about in family and business and in life, because the foundation of all good relationships is good, sincere, honest communication. And I just thank you for sharing your wisdom with us here this morning. It will certainly enhance our relationship and all of our family too. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Gregory and Robin, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Been great, Ron. Thank you. And just so everyone knows, you can go to the Enlightened Networking website, www.enlightenednetworking.com. And on the resource page, you can click and listen to the past conversations of 30 Minutes of Wisdom. And we have 5 more to go up that are wonderful in addition to today. So that's going to be available soon.
So if you dialed in late, didn't hear the whole call this morning, you can hear that on replay. And if you're inspired to share it with others, you can invite friends and family to listen to the replay of this call by going to 712-432-1019. 1085, entering the same PIN number you used to dial into this call, which is 705-5522. So that's 712-432-1085. And share the good news and share the wisdom. And thanks again, Ron. That was a blessing to all of us this week.
Oh, sorry, Ron. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Thank you. We'll complete our recording, and Ron agreed to stay on for a few minutes if anyone wants to make some comments. That's the advantage of listening live. So stand by, please, and we'll complete our 30 minutes of wisdom recording.